Hey, here's a little swapcast I did with Steve. It's Low News Day podcast. I met Steve at one of the Union of the Unwanted ultra swapcasts, the Mount Rushmore of conspiracy theory podcasts out there, from by Ricky from The Ripple Effect. And yeah, everybody's on that shit. I met Steve and we reached out. We've done a lot of different swapcasts with a lot of those creators. And it's great just to, you know, flex the fucking muscles, have a bit of a stretch of the legs, conspiracy wise, you know, and that's a great way for me to be able to address more modern, contemporary, and day-to-day newsy issues. And that's good crack as well, having the crack with fellow conspirators. We ended up talking about Joe Biden during the summer. This one was recorded mid-August, so we ended up talking about Joe Biden going, you better have F-15s and nukes if you want to take us on, you motherfucker. We were talking a little bit about January 6th. We talked a bit about QAnon. And my ultimate philosophical meanderings about, you know, the conspiracy flip-flop from right wing to left wing. And how the news is now kind of cursed with emotional rhetoric. So good crack. Sounds serious. Good crack. So hope you enjoyed the swapcast. There's a few more to come. There's also some big episodes and some small ones. Getting them out when they're ready. Cooked to perfection, eventually. So yeah, here's the swapcast then. Let me know what you think in the Discord or something, you know, DM, something like that. Because I really enjoy doing these swapcasts. Because I get to have the chat. There's no, you know, crazy amount of immense research and all that stuff. It's like, you know, flexing what I'm doing on the day to day. And this one was a fun one. So this is Slow News Day podcast. And I'm going to say his name wrong. Steve Poikkanen. Sorry, Steve. So yeah, Slow News Day podcast, swapcast here. On those conspiracy guys, I'm Gordo. Enjoy.
Hitler, Roswell, JFK, cryptozoology and NSA, global woman, 9/11 government lies, tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys.
Got a good one for you today. Gonna be joined here in, there we are, joined by Gordon, who's no longer blue. Although you may be sad, and I'm not sure about your sex life, so I can't comment on what you are below the waist. I can't see that. But Gordon from Those Conspiracy Guys with us on the show right now. We'll be joined by Sabby Sabs from the Fred Hampton Leftists at the top of the hour. That'll be awesome. Gordon, what the fuck, man? How you doing? Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. I'm blue dabba dee dabba da. I just got rid of the, I don't know what was happening with the camera. And I said, Jesus, I better fix it before I get done for some kind of weird rare racial insensitivity or something. I'd be doing blue face and people would be like, oh no,
this is the thing. The blue man group became a protected class of citizen about 3 weeks ago, and now you can no longer blue face it up without being artistically insensitive.
Exactly. They copyrighted my life. Yeah, it's great. It's a happy Sunday. I've already lived my Sunday. Don't worry, everybody listening in America, it's been a great day, so like, it's all good, you know. At least you don't live in South Africa, right?
That's very true. That's very true. Or Haiti or Cuba or any of the places really, I mean, that the United States wants to practice escaladio or empire expansion.
Close your eyes and stick a pin in a map. There you go.
I'm sure it's just a coincidence that a lot of protesters here are flying American flags and calling for U.S. military intervention.
Yeah, because that always happens.
You're going to have an F-15 or a nuke to fight back, right? That's the crack.
You know, if you have nukes, the U.S. leaves you relatively alone.
Nukes relatively are the threat thereof. Yeah.
Relatively. There's that mutually assured destruction thing that kind of makes people, you know, take a step back. North Korea, still kicking.
Oh, yeah.
Iran, you know, swears.
Getting there.
Iran came out and said just the other day, they said, look, at any point that we want to, we're 90% of the way to manufacturing a nuclear weapon. We just don't want to, but we can. At any point, we can complete that last 10%. We just don't want to. So
I'll tell you what. Such an abusive husband thing to say. It's like, hey, I could win this argument by just punching you right in the face, but I won't, but I could, and then I'd win, but I won't.
It's interesting.
Thank you, honey.
It's interesting because Iran usually doesn't come out swinging. And I don't know if it's because they think that, like, Joe Biden is kind of a paper tiger or a dementia-riddled pedophile who isn't actually president, but they've come out, like, very hard line and said, you know, we'll re-enter talks about this nuclear deal after we swear in our new president, who also is next in line to be Ayatollah. So it's like he'll be both president and religious leader of Iran. And like, yeah. And
it was like a recipe for president for life for me, you know.
It really does.
A little splash of this, a little dash of that. And yeah, you got Xi Jinping president for life. Or
it's
Putin,
first time an Iranian politician has been able to capture both like the religious majority as well as the people who are politically active. And it comes at a time where, like, if they want to go nuclear, they clearly have the capability to do it. And the only person that's really standing in their way now is Kamala Harris.
Oh, my God.
Who is more than likely to try to arrest everyone in Iran. But militarily, I don't know. Like, it's a weird time. It is.
You have to worry about the guys who have nuclear bombs who are basically the guys with nuclear bombs who are politically at loggerheads with America, and not just like the country, but its culture, its deeply rooted history and its culture, who also have a faith-based ethnocrat or a faith-based a religious state, you know? And their reward is to fight infidels who oppose their religion. So if they kill everybody in the nuclear war, that's like, that ticks all the boxes of their faith-based politics. So like, that's kind of like, you know, that's a recipe kind of for disaster. You wouldn't want to
if you're a nuclear theocracy,
that's it.
You're pretty settled on what's gonna happen to you after you die.
You know. That's the faith part.
You're also pretty certain that the people who haven't like seen paradise the way that you have, you're pretty sure of what's going to happen to them too. So all the confidence is on your side as the theocrat.
Even in general, like when you're facing America, typically the confidence is on your side because it's like, oh, we're literally fighting to survive. These fucks are just trying to enslave us and plunder our resources like they've done throughout history. So it's like...
They've got priors, you know? They have form. But I think it's a real kind of nasty war if you're fighting religious ideologies, opposing religious ideologies as the basis of the war. I saw, like, you know, guys like during, you know, after 9/11, it was all like, them Arabs are going to come and explode all our planes and all the luggage is going to be everywhere. We're all going to be shot dead and killed and blown to hell, man. So the lads down there in the south that had all the guns.
That was a great accent.
What I like to do is get some pig grease. I like to get some bacon grease, and I like to soak my bullets. I put my bullets in the bacon grease. So when I'm shooting the Muslims and the bacon grease goes through them, it's part of their religion that they don't get to heaven if they take in that pork. So I'm shooting them, I'm killing them, and now I'm making sure they don't get into heaven, man. That's such mean-spirited, terrible shit.
And that's real shit. That actually happened. That's a real thing that the U.S. Army did, dip bullets in pig blood so that when they shot Muslims, they would prevent them from going to paradise.
That's some fucking mean-spirited shit. Like, I mean, war is hard enough without taking away their fucking afterlife as well, you know?
The depravity that you have to enter something as already depraved as war. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the war in and of itself, hell, let's see how we can make it worse for everybody.
I wonder, because we never see the stuff from the other side, really. Like, we've seen little Vice documentaries of lads coming down and going, we're going to make these documentaries and then pretend that we're, like, kind of supporting these, like, you know, patriot flag waving, like, American kind of gung-ho dudes. We're going to pretend like we're like, hey, we're going to platform your cause, you know, but really, when we take it back to the editing booth, we're going to fucking snicker behind our backs and be like, these fucking rednecks, you know? I wonder, is there that kind of stuff coming out of Iran? Like, if we're, if the Western world feels that way so publicly and feels so comfortable to feel that way publicly, in Iran, is there like whole YouTube channels and whole, you know, like movements of people who are just like, we openly hate America, fuck all, like, white Americans specifically. Like, is there a whole kind of, you can't say, because the definition of racism has changed, but like a whole like white racist Iranian propaganda machine at work that we
like in an Iranian nationalist
language. Like a propaganda machine against the U.S. I mean,
there's gotta be. You would think. I mean, and even if it's just somebody coming on camera to condemn what the U.S. did today, or what the West did today, or something like that. Like, yeah, because propaganda feeds a society in general. It doesn't matter what your culture is or what who your perceived enemy is. Without state propaganda funneling narratives, you've got people walking around thinking independently, Gordon, and that's just, that's not how governance works.
Yeah, you and your thinking. Look at my pork bullets. Like, I wonder if there are guys over there that are as mean spirited as these lads who are trying to be like,
guaranteed.
Americans hate.
Yeah. Guaranteed. I guess you would wrap bullets in differing political opinions.
Yeah,
or shows you hate. Or something
like the ashes of a burnt American flag or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
we put two of friends inside this warhead,
like some cayenne pepper.
Yeah. What? Okay, guys, come together. Welcome to the committee for propaganda against American pig dogs. Today we are watch the Vice documentary about the bullets soaked in pig blood. What can we do to piss Americans off as much as that would piss us off? I have, Ahmed, what is your suggestion? According to our Google Analytics, we should wrap the bullets in the last three episodes of season 8 of Game of Thrones. They really hate that. That is the most thing they hate on internet. Let's do that.
We're going to start dropping well-seasoned chicken.
Oh yeah, some paprika,
macaroni salad without raisins in it.
No raisins, no raisins in the potato salad. Yeah,
fuck, man. We're a bunch of spoiled bitches. Yeah, like, when you get right down to it, Mel Brooks said it. It's good to be king, right? I've joked for fucking years that it's good to live in the heart of the empire until the empire brings empire home.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing it, Gordon. We started seeing it for real when the blast walls and the concertina wire went up around the U.S. Capitol.
Mm.
And now the U.S. Capitol has branch offices. The Capitol Police, the D.C. Capitol Police, have branch offices in New York and L.A. now. And a brand new $2 billion on top of all of the money that they already got to, what, let people in the doors when there's a quote-unquote insurrection, remind them occasionally to stick between the velvet ropes. It's our sacred space. Please don't violate our rotunda.
Yeah.
You know, like at least ask for consent if you're going right up into the rotunda, is what they were trying to get across to people. It's like, That's not an insurrection. I was there for that, by the way. And when we walked up onto the Capitol, we saw a false flag happening in real time. We saw domestic terrorist legislation being handed down, and we saw people getting suckered. And lo and behold, 7.5 months later, we find out that there's nearly 30 protected witnesses, all of whom seem to comprise the leadership of Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, and Three Percenters. Mm-hmm. A number of FBI agents and assets have been outed as leadership in these organizations. And this looks every day more and more like an FBI-led operation in order to entrap a number of people and have the ability to label half or more of the country as domestic violent extremists.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a textbook false flag situation, but you can't say that because then you lose your YouTube channel, you lose your this, your that. It's one of those inalienable narratives that has been created over the last few years, starting with the kind of the likes of the Sandy Hook and stuff like that, where it's like we put kids at the very, very front in order to not have any discussion allowed because, like, oh, you know, think of the children or whatever. But like January 6th, from our point of view, meaning the people outside of America, that was like, oh, that was like a fucking, a high school excursion just with like extra bits, you know, like a super involved, enthusiastic high school excursion. I know a woman got shot.
Murdered even, yeah.
Lord of mercy on her. But an unarmed woman got shot. People were afraid. But I think in years to come, we obviously as, you know, I don't know, conspiracy theorists, I don't want to label everybody in here. I'd be like a sociological, a cultural observer, commentator. Conspiracy theorist seems to have different connotations nowadays. But when you're looking at shit like, and it comes off, screams like false flag, screams like this is bullshit. I'm seeing bullshit being fucking, they're stacking the bullshit bricks and doing, like, I can see it being built. Or like, oh, they're going to get some fucking road out of this one. Like, this is going to last for ages in the propaganda machine. Like, I saw that on the 6th of January. I knew some shit was going down. They were going to use that as a stick to bait people with. And when I saw the lads climbing in and I saw the lads going, like, all the live footage online, I was like, oh, no, you took the bait, man. They're going to fuck you up for this. The guy with the thing, the fucking, what's his name? The Sherpa guy.
Eric? Eric, oh God, what's his last name? He's got some kind of Italian last name, but yeah. The Angeli.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, they call him,
the Q-Shaman.
Q-Shaman.
Like that video of him coming in and the security guard is like, hey guys, this is the place that they, you know, they find the most sacred. So like, don't fuck up too much stuff. And then there's one guy lying, like bleeding underneath going, yeah, I'm good. I try to make it up there. But you go up there, Q Shaman, and he's there. There's a couple of selfies, and there's not like, they're not like smashing the place up or setting off fire. It all seems very innocuous. And then there were like, we watching it in context in real time, we're going, this is going to be used out of context. And with the gift of history or the gift of hindsight, we all know that stuff like Watergate, when it happened, biggest thing ever. Now, not such a big thing compared to what's happened in the last few years, but like enough to impeach a president. But at the time, it was like the biggest fucking scandal of all time. This thing at the time was biggest scandal of all time. In 10 years' time, we'd be like, how did we let the government make all of those new rules and laws, label all of those people as domestic terrorists, split the country in half, surround Washington with like some kind of armaments and barriers as if it was kind of like a North Korea-esque or a French palace under attack in the 1600s or something like that. Like, yeah. It just
storming looked like, of the Bastille.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So it's only a couple of days ago, the Bastille Day and whatever, we're trying to a newly sworn in government. If it was a fair election, logically, you would think if it was a fair and free election, a newly installed or installing government shouldn't have to defend themselves that well against the people. If the people of the country were like, hey, okay, you guys are the handover power, it's all good. But it's the little nuances, like Trump was doing the speech at the time it was happening, or he did the speech after the actual like entering of the Capitol building, or the bullshit about Ocasio-Cortez going like, I was in fear for my life. Like, bitch, you were three buildings away. You were three buildings away. Come on. Like, you know, as she was fucking, you know, filling up the pants in her pantsuit with fucking Hershey squirts, like, oh my God, I'm so scared. And now I'm a victim class and whatever. It just all seemed so fake and bullshit. And now, because people didn't look at the specificities, they didn't look at the tiny details of it happening. I'm no expert on it. This is just like general knowledge from what I remember at the time. A lot of people didn't really pay attention to the intricacies of what was going on. And they ended up allowing the news and allowing, you know, the White House press corps, the press secretary and all that, to spin all of these lies that people just swallowed in, because they're like, well, Biden is in now and, you know, this is the new order and we have to just do as we're told and those guys are bad and we hated Trump anyway and these are the... Like, Trump was gone. The hate was still there. They had to point it somewhere. Why not at the supporters? It was just such a fucking false flag in the making.
When
you get in trouble, you know?
I was flying back to California the next day and the entire airplane was Trump supporters, and it was people who had been at the thing. And I was there. We were there because we had had events and actions on the 3rd and 4th around the extradition verdict of Julian Assange. So we were already in DC. We had already done our thing. We had found out a few weeks before the Stop the Steal event that it was going to be a thing. So when it was announced, it was like, oh, well, fuck yeah, I'm sticking around for that. Like, are you kidding me? That's going to be a shit show. Like, I can't wait. And
it's like the after party after a nightclub or something.
Yeah. And so we, when Trump was on at the Ellipse and was speaking, and was doing that, like, you know, let me read off the program flyer to direct people to the next location, which they said was a call for an insurrection. We split. We went back to the Airbnb, did some shit, just started getting the phone blowing up like, holy crap, you've got to get back down there. So we did. And there were people that were like surprised that the cops were shooting tear gas and surprised that a couple of people got like beaten back. And it's like, did you honestly think that the entirety of the Capitol Police was going to be like, oh, Frank and Jimbo are here, I guess we're giving up the Capitol now, you know, like, or to be like, oh, well, welcome, brothers. It's your space too. Let's go drag us out some liberals. Like, I think that a few people thought that that was going to happen, that we really got caught up in all of it. But most of the people on the plane were like, we got used as set dressing. We got, we were played. And they used were going, the fuck Mitch McConnell, fuck Trump, fuck the Republican Party, fuck Mike Pence, fuck this, fuck that, fuck. And then, of course, like 2 months later, they're all screaming for Donald Trump at a rally and completely forgot about everything.
Can I ask you, right? Because there's this weird thing, and we talked about it before on one of the other Unions of the Unwanted, which is where we met a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I talked about it on my show. I talked with Dave Hayes, who is the praying medic, who was like a Q expert or whatever.
Yeah.
And I kind of put it to him. I put it to him, and I said to a few other people, like, Q and that narrative, which is, in short and specific to this conversation, so don't get me wrong, that Trump is like this kind of political messiah that's going to save America, and that the narrative around this January 6th and the January 20th stuff, that he is still the president today, apparently, and that the election was stolen, and there is evidence to show fraud and this kind of stuff in certain 100%. Places. And there's still like audits and stuff going on in Georgia. There's some upset in Arizona and stuff, like, still, you know.
Yeah.
But some people are saying he's still the secret president and Biden is just allowed to do that because and blah, blah, blah. Like, this whole Q movement all the way along was able to take people who were middle Americans, who were, you know, Christians, who have a faith-based lifestyle anyway, who believe in a religion. They believe in, like, well, look at life is fucking, life is kind of shitty right now. But if I believe, I do my best every day and praise God. Go to church on Sunday. It's going to be all right for me. If not in this life, maybe in the next one. And it's this whole thing of let's eat the shit sandwich now. And then maybe later on, it might be okay. There's a faith-based kind of stall. Let's wait. And I think that Q narrative really deactivated a bunch of people who could have done some wild shit like January the 6th an awful lot sooner if they were allowed to, or if they were just let off the leash. But I think Q kind of kept them all a little bit under wraps,
yes.
A little bit kind of waiting for, like, wait for the green, wait till you see the whites in their eyes. There was William Wallace is riding on a horse up and down in front of them while they were all, like, painted blue and white. And he's like, hold, hold. And finally, there was no more hold. There was, like, the motherfuckers were in the Capitol building signing papers. On the 20th, they were going to be inaugurated. Like, it was like, we're running out of time here for Trump to be the savior of this. We need to make some moves. And they basically just fucking, you know, cock-teased all of those supporters. They were just edging these supporters going, oh, I'm not going, maybe after Christmas, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. And they were like, let me just fucking blow my patriotic beans all over your boobies. And they couldn't, they wouldn't let them do it. So just like, I'm just going to do it anyway. And January 6th was just those guys collectively just blowing their muck all over the Capitol, doing wild shit, breaking off into little splinter groups and going here and going there. That was like 4 years of believing in something that they were slowly realizing, shit, this might not actually be real. The anger pointed at Trump then for letting them get into that position to be used as useful idiots very quickly dissipated, because the new narrative was then he's still really the president and the Federal Reserve is like privately owned now. And, you know, this Bretton Woods thing is coming up on the August the 11th and they just had that cyber polygon thing like the 20th of June or whatever, mm-hmm. Or 20th of July. Like, it's shit is fucking... still moving, they're still moving parts, and there is enough plausible deniability to make those Q people believe that Trump is still the president, he's running things behind the scene. Biden is so incompetent, like, Biden is so visibly fucking falling apart like a wet cake in front of people. Kamala is like very, I don't know, the word evil just comes to mind, like, just like sickly, evilly wrong. You know, there's something
broken,
like, psychopath. Yes. Yeah. Just like,
yes. No, cunt. Fucking dead eyed, yeah. Sociopath. Power.
Sociopath. There you go. Emotionally dead and just deadened and broken. And people can feel that because people's emotions have been fucked with for the last 4 years. This has turned politics from a head game into a heart game. They've activated everybody's hearts as a tool to manipulate them, because emotions are way easier to manipulate than thoughts. So they fucking activated everybody's emotions by pushing all their little buttons, by getting all their little foibles and all their little childhood fucking dreams and poking and poking and poking until everyone was super raw. Then they acted this thing out. People reacted. They got a reaction. But I think that they've activated a whole bunch of people now that are starting to wake up. Because they're like, I'm after being like emotionally manipulated and abused by the mainstream media here. I feel it's not right. There's something wrong. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. And I definitely don't believe you. They're watching the news now going, this is bullshit. My emotions are telling me. I'm tuned in. I'm empathetic. I'm sympathetic. I'm tuned into the fact that this is bullshit. I feel it's wrong. Whereas before, their feelings were being numbed by food, alcohol, drugs, television, fucking just not wanting to cause a fuss. All of these trappings of modern society and modern life just numbing people out. The numbness has been taken away. They found a new place to poke, and that thing is raw, and people are mad about it.
That's fair.
I think 20 years on, well, almost 20 years now, but like 20 years on, we're sort of kind of starting to see people realize like more and more what a psyop 9/11 was. And you know, I invoke that in part because like everyone in mainstream media is trying to say like, oh my god, January 6th, the next 9/11, like making the narrative there even more obvious. So I mean, I think people are finally starting to kind of grasp where these psyops are coming in. So it's like, damn, We really let 9/11 happen and let Patriot Act and Iraq War and all of this happen because of that. God damn.
9/11 was so far away, so far ago, that the people who experienced it as kids, like I was like 18 or whatever, there's a lot of people who are younger than me that were like, that was fucking massively traumatizing for people in their mid-teens. Those people are in their 30s now. And then they're going to stuff like this because they're like, well, I don't want to let that shit happen again. And then they're being told, you took part in another 9/11. And then they look at January 6th and then they look at what they remember firsthand about 9/11 and go, that's not the same. It's like some fucked up, apocalyptic episode of Sesame Street. Do you know what I mean? It has like 9/11 and the people falling out and splatting on the ground. And then like some people walking between through some velvet ropes and the cops like pulling back the barriers. One of these things is not like
no
the other.
Shit.
Like they're holding these fucking things going. The news is saying the January 6th is 9/11. And I was at January 6th and I remember 9/11. No, this is bullshit.
No, like, no.
It's firsthand, you know. The joke, Bill Clinton's fucking dick sucking. Monica Lewinsky's dress would come on it. Like, people, that's a joke now. That's an SNL fucking skit. That's an old hacked bullshit joke. But at the time, it was the worst thing ever to happen to America. And they forget about that. And in 20 years' time, the January 6th is going to be laughed at. It's going to be that bit with the squirrel and water skis at the end of the news. They're going to be like, and on this day, isn't that right, Helen? 6th of January, folks. Remember in 2021 and 6th of January, a bunch of people walked between the velvet ropes and we all here at News 7 thought it was another 9/11. How funny is that? Here's Tom with the weather. Like, it's fucking bananas. It's bananas, so banal.
Thank you for adding. Here's Tom with the weather. For those of you who are playing along at home, pull out your Bill Hicks scorecard and go ahead and check one off there.
There you go.
Well, thank you.
Tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys.
It is fascinating to me that people have. So, all right, you said you were 18 on 9/11. That puts you relatively in the same ballpark as me for age. So I have watched the conspiracy theory people, that crowd shift from when I was growing up into about, I don't know, a few years after 9/11. So the first, you know, like 25 years of my life, conspiracy theorists were all left-wing, pinko, commie bastards who wanted to destabilize the United States and God's favorite nation on behalf of the fucking KGB. And now, Gordon, we've got conspiracy theorists are all right-wing Nazi bastards who want to destabilize America and the West on behalf of Vladimir Putin and Russia.
And the people who are on the right side of history are the ones who are talking about like Trotskyite socialism, big government, raging for the machine, all the people who used to be the resistance are now resisting against the resistance. It's such a fucking weird flip-flop, and it changed around maybe 2008 to 2012. I think the
We can blame Obama. Thanks, Obama.
Oh, my God.
The last vestiges of it was the generational shift from millennials, from like emo teens into like early 2000s emo teens into, taxpaying, working, real life adults, when they just went, oh, shit. I thought I was sad when I was a teenager. This is actually fucked up, and I don't have any more time to be sad because I got to work. Do you know, like when they moved in and the Occupy movement died, I think that was the shift, because the Occupy movement was the last kind of like fuck the government, but they were also liberal socialists. They were, you know, the people who now would dress in black and smash Starbucks windows. That was the generator. That was the cohort who would have camped out in Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't see today's conspiracy theorists camping out in Wall Street because they know better. But they're able to come back. They're able to talk online. They're able to use like real political power. They're able to use massive platforms. Whereas before, conspiracy theorists were all off in the dark corners of the internet. Now they're fucking mainstream. And the people
I was talking to Nathan from Lift the Veil, his wife, Katie. I was talking to her for a while on the phone yesterday, And we were talking about this, that the contingent of Occupy that really understood the way that power worked, really understood the way that weaponizing a narrative in order to gin up a predictable emotional response in people understood all of this shit. And now, a decade later, you're correct. They're the same fucking people who are trying to take away this show, who are trying to take away your show, who are trying to police everybody's speech, who are acting in the most like openly fascist manners, and yet like just have these blinders on to where they're fucking essentially like that little Principal Skinner thing where it's like, well, surely I'm not the thing that I'm rebelling against. Everybody else is wrong.
Yeah. It's in anti-adromia. They're blaming everybody else for the things that they're guilty of themselves. They call out fascists, yet wear brown shirts. They, you know, they cry out in pain as they strike another. Like, it's a really fucked up mentality.
Well, and really, here's the thing.
What it comes down to is being in power. What it comes down to is the mainstream media, the accepted narrative, the governmental line, like all of those things that are pretty much in the majority when it comes to representation in media, are all very much liberal, left wing, commanded by social conditioning, commanded by the social contract. By social justice and by direct action, right? So if you say something, a bunch of people brigade it, you lose your job, you lose your means of income, or you lose whatever. Like, if you say some shit, someone's going to find it where you work, ring your boss, show them some tweet and go like, and if you don't do this, I'm going to fucking make hell for you and your business. And they go, I don't want that. I don't want the heat. Bam. So they found that power, and they're being supported from behind by the political, the social, and the media structure. So of course they're going to go, I want to be in power. Whether they believe it or not, they've convinced themselves they believe it because it's what makes the big bucks. Like all of the conspiracy shows that we know, even the most successful ones, do they make as much as like Chapo Trap House? Do they make as much as fucking No Agenda? Because the liberal side, you know, is the winner as far as media is concerned for right now.
Oh, I don't know, man. Tim Pool's got a bigger show than they do.
Yeah, but he started being very much liberal, and he has red-pilled himself into a little bit right of center at the moment. But that's because he was an Occupy man. He was an Occupy dude.
Except for, because I've been around my friend, and like everywhere Tim Pool goes, people go to jail. Everywhere Tim Pool goes, you know, like movements get infiltrated. So yeah,
dude, Tim's an agent of the state, or
if he's not on somebody's payroll, he is the most useful fucking idiot on the planet, and he has admitted to taking a check to keep his mouth shut. So
I don't know anything about his backdoor shenanigans. All I know is I've watched him for years, and I know that he was a milquetoast liberal, self-confessed. He was very much in the Occupy movement, working for Vice, working for these companies, covering the stories in a certain way. And then over the last 2 years, like if he wanted to be a multimillionaire, if he wanted to be like top of the pops, I know he is now, but I'm saying if he wanted to have, if money was the only thing, if money was the only motivator for Tim, he could have went fully left and been the fucking king of the crusties. He would have been king of the Antifa, you know, brigade, right?
He stayed in the middle.
He stayed a little bit right. He's all about that gun. He's all about that gun ownership. He's all about that, you know, liberty and all that kind
of
stuff.
That's because he's got Luke Rudowski camped out in his yard, and Luke has a gun at him at all times. Okay, and I'm actually not kidding about that. But at least last year, Luke Rudowski was camped out in Tim Pool's yard.
He moved to Ohio. Tim made the compound now, the skate world or whatever, the pooligon or whatever they call it. But he went the hardest road for somebody who wants to make easy money off YouTube. He went the hardest road. he's gone into like,
because what we're doing is the hardest fucking road, my friend. Telling, like, trying to make money off of trying to make a living off the truth. Come on, there's no money in the truth, you know. But we're
everybody's truth is different, doing, though.
If you're doing pop culture, you know, like culture war, social justice, division, fucking, like, if that's what you're doing, that's pop culture for people.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I'm not sure, like, I fuck Tim Pool because he did a hit piece on me, called me like, okay. So he called me the conspiratorial left because I did a video saying that little Mayor Pete, little CIA Pete Buttigieg, CIA Democrat. And so for that, I was the conspiratorial left as far as Tim Pool was concerned. I've got the left that calls me the gateway to the alt-right, you know, and I'm just trying to put out some factual information about the world here. I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm fuck all of that shit. I'm trying to be able to fish off of my deck. That's my political, whatever political party allows me to fish off my porch. Like, that's what I am, you know.
Even if you don't live near water, I still want the possibility to fish off. I have the freedom to fish off my deck, even though there is no water near my house. Right? I don't align myself with any political ideology either. But you have to wonder, people, when they're listening to content like this, they want to be able to know what to think about it rather than thinking in the moment or being confronted with it. And I'm not saying everybody, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to generalize, but a lot of people tune into stuff and listen to things that kind of gels with their own outlook. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like to be challenged.
Right.
And at the moment, and for the last maybe 3 or 4 years, being in the middle is as challenging as being polarized one side or the other. Now, being alt-right, now whatever fucking alt-right means anymore, there's an Overton window of acceptable speech that is definitely skewed towards the liberal left, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't talk about stuff or agree with stuff along those lines, like, you get banned for saying that, like, you know, trans women shouldn't compete in sport against biological women, because even that sentence has like, what's a biological woman, like, what's, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then there's like, you know, you're misgendering somebody, denying them the rights to do this, and there's all these mad like collegiate university arguments, like social science arguments against that sentiment, the statement itself, the fucking syntax in which it's used, and there's that for 1,000 things to talk about right now.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants, you know, to label you a certain ideology, they have to find one, maybe two videos that confirm that bias and have a bigger platform than you and put it out and go, this is what this guy is. And then it's really fucking hard to shake that kind of accusation against your character or your motives or your belief systems. Plus the fact, a lot of people are not allowed to fucking change their minds anymore. Something that I believed 2 years ago, I might not hold dear to my heart anymore because I've either found it to be not true, or I've educated myself further. I have a more nuanced concept of what that idea is, or maybe I was ignorant at the start and I've become educated, or maybe I was overeducated and I was indoctrinated by somebody that I respect that I now find was doing it for, you know, some kind of financial remuneration, or they were being paid to do it, or they were being obliged to do it because of social pressures or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I really respect that guy, and I took that to be true when it's not true. You know, there's a fucking there's a crazy, like, everyone's writing in permanent marker, everyone's writing in Sharpie when they should be writing in pencil at the moment, right? And I think if you're writing in Sharpie, it's very difficult to backtrack that shit. People are ending up saying a thing on a podcast somewhere and then they pull that and your career is over. They'll play that ad infinitum. Not all the other things they said that may, before and after, that may dissuade someone from thinking that. But that particular thing, one sound bite can be taken and extrapolated and used to cover your whole career, all your content, everything to do with you can be ruined by one small thing. And that's a really dangerous environment to be living in.
Yeah.
Because the people who are consuming the media expect that to be the case. So like Tim Pool saying that the left are saying you're the window to the alt-right. It's because you espouse stuff that some alt-right people have said as well. And then they'll put the two E beside each other. Like, how easy would it be to find out about Buttigieg's history? It would be as easy to find out about Kamala Harris's fucking history, where she has put like thousands of black men in jail and then stands up on the pulpit and goes like, I'm for, you know, equality and for freedom and for this and that. And you're like, no, you made laws and rules. You made, terms and conditions. You made certain legislations that end up putting people in jail real easy. And it's your fault that they're there for as long as they are. And nobody talks about that stuff.
Kamala Harris. She's fucking instrumental in not having RFK's murder reopen. Yeah. Instrumental in
so many things.
Running cover for pedophile priests.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was her program that was, you know, having fucking prison labor fight wildfires. Like, yeah, no, I mean, it's why she was polling in fifth place here in California when she was running for president. It's why she never won a delegate. The Hamptons money and the Clinton money decided they wanted her to be president. People heard her talk and went, oh my God, she's horrible. Mm. You know, like, get this fucking psycho away from me. And so now we have selected as president and vice president, a man with instant grits where his brains used to be. Like, not even the good kind of grits that take 20 minutes to prepare, but like just, you know, the shitty instant ones.
How do you prepare your grits? You use instant grits?
No self-respect in Southern that makes sense.
And look, I appreciate the fact that you picked up on the fact that I was throwing a My Cousin Vinny reference into this. Thank you.
I wore this ridiculous thing for you.
I appreciate how obscure of a human being you are. I do. Thank you. But my point is, like, we've got two people that no one on the planet would let watch their children.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, being the figureheads for the nation. It underscores that this is all a performance. It's what I wanted to say about the Antifa people, too. If you're putting on a costume to go fight other people that put on a costume to go fight you, that's a fucking performance.
Yeah. 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 81 million votes, man. I can't believe the people believe that he got tens of millions more votes than Barack Obama. I cannot believe or understand that that's a possibility or that's real life. It just baffles my mind. But the thing is, right, these lines and these things that are drawn, they're all temporary. And I think no more than the 9/11 and hold 9/11 in one hand and hold January 6th in the other and weigh them. For somebody who knows what both of them weigh, it's bullshit. If you look at now what's happening, the likes of, and I don't want to put these two men side by side in their evilness, but Kevin Spacey is just walking around making new movies. All of his accusers.
Joking about him being a fucking pedophile.
Making Christmas videos and fucking joking about it. And then all of his accusers dying by the worst case of suicide anyone's ever seen, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, I don't want to, again, I like Chris D'Elia. I don't want to put him next to Kevin Spacey. But like, Chris D'Elia done some shit. People accused him. He went to ground for 9-10 months. And now he's back and his podcast is back. And he's, you know, he's back on YouTube. He's back on Instagram. And kind of nobody cares anymore. Everything cooled down, and they're just like, oh, it's fine.
No, we've got other things to be upset about.
Yeah, it's fine.
Groomed some
liars. It's fine, right? But somebody who comes out and says, like, you know, trans women shouldn't compete in sports, or biological women are, you know, Sandy Hook, maybe not real, or these other things that you should not say, these things that get people kicked off. Alex Jones was kicked off for the Sandy Hook thing. Obviously, there was a lot more about the Posners and stuff like that, but boiling it down to make my point, there are some unforgivable things, it seems, you know? Some things that cannot be forgiven, some things that will carry you past interviews and past job opportunities where people are go look you up online and go, oh, you're that guy, I know you're grand, that they'll never be able to work again, do you know? One of the women who was, now, in fairness, she was abusing these people, but do you know the McCann, you know Madeleine McCann, the girl who went missing in Pride of Loose? Madeleine McCann, her parents were getting awful abuse off this woman on Twitter, and a Sky News reporter doorstepped her and showed up and went, hey, are you the woman that's been annoying, taking Jerry McCann on Twitter, known as Sweepy Face? And she's like, ah, fuck off, I'm getting in my car, fuck off. And she got in the car, she drove to a hotel, and she stayed there for two nights, and on the second night, she fucking hung herself because she thought, like, my life is over, the pressure. Like, that shit lasts forever.
Yeah.
But Kevin Spacey can, like, rape a bunch of boys and stuff and do some sexual assaults, and all his accusers end up dying, and then he's just, like, back making movies and just going, like, hey, everything's okay, I'll make you another Christmas video this Christmas, and, like, be like, isn't it awful what happened to those people? And drinking tea. You're like, how is that? How are both of those things allowed to happen? One person says a tweet and their life is over, and Kevin Spacey, like, does all the stuff that he does, and he's still allowed to be walking around. So it just shows you that it's the people, you know, it's the people you align with. If you wanted to be successful, if we wanted to be successful, we could totally, quote unquote, sell out.
Well, yeah.
And start saying the left is the best and fucking fuck Trump and all of this kind of stuff. But the harder thing to do is to go, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'm anti-media. And in the eyes of a lot of people, I was criticizing the media's coverage of him. Therefore, I was a Trump supporter because I was criticizing the media. So it was all of these kind of loose associations. So now if you say, like, January 6th is weird, they're like, you're a terrorist now. You know, mm-hmm. it's very dicey language. And like you said, the people who were conspiracy theorists back in the day now are, like, considered domestic terrorists or online, you know, fucking hate mongers. And the people who were protesting for Occupy Wall Street are now all, like, dressing in black and smashing up windows of Starbucks. Like, it does not make any sense.
Or they're running for office.
Are running for, yeah, I mean, they've all grown up now. It's 10.
And they're, you know, I mean, together. And it's like, or they're running a fucking media company that just does narrative management and confirmation bias porn and fucking, like, hope porn, essentially. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, okay, I know things are bad because establishment Democrats are in power. But if we just elect progressive Democrats, they'll sell out to the exact same moneyed interest and war machine. But we'll all get paid in the process. And then on the opposite side of that, like, as long as you're on one side or the other of the culture war, there's a spot for you, you know, and there's an audience for you. If you can portray one side or the other of the culture war as the enemy, you've got a built-in audience. And
that's the way I deal with history. I'm really trying to, and since my daughter was born, she was born on Inauguration Day, ironically.
Oh, enough. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. I'm getting my body back now. My muscles are all going back into place and stuff.
Yeah, you know? No, I mean, you got to get that kid in the stroller and hike uphill a little bit if you really want it. But, yeah.
Get her into papoose at the front, you know?
Yeah.
So she was born on Inauguration Day, funny. And I kind of switched off, man. I just went, you know what? That was the last season I was going to. Like, in Breaking Bad, for years, I stopped watching at the end of season four when he rings his wife and goes, it's over.
Yeah.
And Gus blows up and all that stuff. I didn't watch that season five, like, 3 years later. I didn't watch any of that shit. I was like, this is over for me now, and I'm good. That's what I felt like when Trump was out. I'm like, that's the end of Breaking Bad season four. I don't want to be looking at Biden. I don't want to be trying to figure out what fucking mad cockamamie bullshit he's coming up with.
Right. While the next four seasons of America are really going to suck.
That's what I'm saying. I'm stopping watching that show. Yeah. And I'm going on, and I'm watching older, better shows that have a more easily understandable narrative with the gift of hindsight. Right. And the show that I do is more of a history show in the last few years, because like the best way to experience now is through the lens of what was, because all the shit keeps repeating. So like you have these old CIA and FBI operations. Like we just recorded an episode on Waco. Mm-hmm. Like, is Waco not a fucking testing ground for what happened on January 6th? Like infiltrate the fucking, you know, they had your man Robert Rodriguez infiltrating David Koresh's camp. And at the last minute, he just goes, David, listen, they're going to kill everybody in here. And David Koresh is like, I know. And he's like, okay, well, good luck. And he just walked back out and he put on the FBI jacket and was like, we knew you were in the FBI the whole time. And, you know, like that's happening, the Proud Boys and the 3%ers and all. Like they were handing out the stuff, at the steps of the Capitol building, going, go on and do this thing, follow this, right? Like it's anything that can happen has already happened, and you can look at it through the lens of history. I am researching at the moment for an episode on the Chinese Cultural Revolution. I don't know if you know much about it, but we are fucking living our version of it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Where they take the youth and they indoctrinate them into this impossible position of only supporting the now. Very Aldous Huxley in its Brave New Worldian, let's only experience now, the future's not written yet, and the past is a lie, and let's fucking, you know, dope ourselves up to the eyeballs in order to not have to deal with the emotional fallout of not knowing where we came from, expunging our past histories because it was evil and bad and all that stuff. Like, I can hear in the chats of people, like, you know, you see, I know she's not very, very good to, as an example for this, but, you know, the Kent State girl, what's her name? Caitlin Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
Caitlin Bennett goes there and she interviews people. And I know she's a provocateur and she's acting a fucking cunt, right? Going around the place, being a cunt on purpose. But she's doing that, interviewing people. And the shit that those people come out with, I think, even if you hate Caitlin Bennett's face and the shit she comes out with, which is moderately kind of bullshit, the responses that she's getting from people really shows what they feel. And they feel, let's just put America in the bin. Our country is terrible. Everything we've ever done is awful. We're responsible for so much hardship across the world. And it's such this like self-flagellation. Like they feel guilty for stuff that their parents have done. And there's no sense of living in the present and going, what do you own now? What are your values now? What are your prospects going on into the future for you now? What can you work on now to make your future better, regardless of what has happened in the past or the guilt that you have for stuff that you're paying? Because the guilt is only put on you by somebody else, you know, again, some kind of psychological abuse, right? So all of these fucking students in American colleges are fucking riddled with guilt. And they're trying to go, let's destroy the history of America. Let's turn it into a communist kind of state where equality of outcome is paramount. And that we want everybody to be equal, no matter what. And obviously someone's going to take advantage of that situation. So we want, you know, total communism. Everybody is going to be, equal, no matter what. We'll delete our history and we'll, you know, pay reparations and we'll do all this thing for it. Like destroy, demoralize themselves, right? That's exactly what China made the youth do. To fucking throw away legacy, to throw away the history of their country and hand over all the power to the government. And within like less than 7 years, it was a totalitarian regime where absolutely every aspect of society was controlled. In 7 years, that's two presidential terms. So if people are at this shit now, over the next 7 years, like by the time somebody else is going to be in the White House at the end of 2028, we could be in like 1961 communist China.
Well, if they get their way, it's not even 1961 China. It's fucking the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and UN Agenda 2030. And it sounds like, you know, the communism or whatever, but what it is essentially is the creation of a permanent ruling class and a permanent renting peasant class. And there's, and that's it. That's it. That's all you get. And
control
so
the food supply, control accommodation, control the media. Like they put out that thing, Facebook is going to start making bans across all social media accounts for someone who fucks up on Facebook. They want to have, they want to be able to look into your messages as if they're not already looking into them, but they want to be more overt. Not like they already know what's in your messages. They just want you to know that they know now. That's what they're saying. You know, watch what you're saying. Everyone's going to start self-censoring. You're going to end up, I think you're going to end up very quickly with the way that America is and the way the people are. Very quickly, you're going to end up in Tiananmen Square type protests. You can see now at the moment, people in France, they're out fucking banging the pavement against mandatory vaccinations. If you imagine if you said in America, we're going to go door to door and give mandatory vaccinations and actually follow through on it. There'd be people shot on porches all over the country. Like that shit is not going to fly. Do you know? They're doing it in the UK. People are out protesting. They're doing it in France. People are out protesting. They have New Zealand and Australia locked down. The lads are protesting in Australia. They're getting arrested. They're getting $20,000 fines. Like people are not going to fucking just lie down on this one. They're not.
Well, and nor should they.
No.
That, and I, you know, I fucking, when I saw what was going on in France yesterday, I put out a tweet and all I said was, get your shit together, America. That's all. And fucking, and even that, like being censored and shadow banned is approaching, you know, 1,000 likes, which is abnormal for as heavily pushed down as my account is. Gordon, you've been with us for an hour and it's been delightful.
Jesus,
and
fucking flew in, didn't it?
Please do come back.
Oh, for sure, man.
Really enjoyed talking with you. It is time for me to bring in our next guest, but let the folks know where they can find you, how they can support you, and just, yeah, thanks again. This has been delightful.
ThoseConspiracyGuys.com is the website. It's Those Conspiracy Guys on all of the social media. And, I don't know. We're on all the podcast apps. I'm starting my thing on Rockfin now at the moment. I'm going to put up all the video content. We're on Patreon. You get all the ad free episodes. There's 177 episodes right now. About 800 hours of content publicly, and another 500 behind the paywall. They're long ass shows, but they're deep dive history shows, and you know, peppered with dick jokes and long diatribes about some fucking nonsensical conspiracy bullshit, but it's all in good fun. It's a comedy show, and it's all about, you know, laughing to help the bitter medicine of the truth go down.
100%. If there weren't jokes, it would just be screaming. Thank you so much, but I really I appreciate the hell out of it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday for the hour or three that you have left of it. And yeah, man,
we do this again. You come on my show. We talk long. We get a menu of chats. I kind of that was a bit of word salad there, but we'll do this again. Absolutely.
All right, brother. Take care.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: Startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.